Smith Sabatino here, Roland Smith with Carl Sabatino. Our next guest is a gentleman by the name of Chris Boucher. Now, just as a preface on that, it's been an historic time in America. A bipartisan legislation was introduced in the U.S. Senate proposing to curb federal regulation on medical marijuana with the Careers Act. Now, Chris Boucher is Vice President of Product Development at Cannavest. We've asked him to come on and give us a little Cannabis 101 to bring us up to speed on the issues of legislation. So welcome, Mr. Boucher. We're delighted to welcome you to Smith Sabatino.
Oh, it's great to be here.
So where do we stand legislatively in this country for medical marijuana?
Well, currently right now, medical marijuana, industrial hemp, it's all lumped into the same category. The United States government has it under Schedule 1, which basically is in the same category as LSD, acid, heroin, has no use for humans whatsoever. And the Careers Act basically is going to try to remove it from that scheduling restriction to Schedule 2, which would put it in the category of cocaine and methamphetamine that has medical use, which could open the doors of investment, medical research, university research. So it's actually a good thing.
Well, your company, Cannavest, was the first company to grow hemp in the United States in what, 64 years?
Yeah, we sponsored a program back last year in Kentucky at Murray State University, and we basically sponsored and donated seeds and helped teach them how to grow industrial hemp, the Nohi.
Well, Carl Sabatino here, Mr. Boucher. There are so many conflicting state-by-state laws, and we have Colorado and California and the growth, and people have heard so many stories. A little bit confusing. Clarify for our listeners, if you will, we're talking about state law, or are we talking about federal law?
This Careers Act is a federal law. So basically, it would be a federal law, which basically was put on the books in 1970 in the Controlled Substance Act. And so this is a federal law that basically, it doesn't really allow for university scientists to research it. It doesn't allow for Wall Street investment bankers to invest in the industry. It doesn't allow banks to actually have bank accounts for, you know, cannabis or hemp-related businesses. So it really needs to change, and this is going to really open up the doors of investment and capital. It's huge. It's an economic, advantage that we could have.
Is there a difference between hemp and marijuana?
Yeah, I try to break it down pretty simple between hemp and marijuana. It's like your non-alcoholic beer and your alcoholic beer. With hemp, the THC level, that's the chemical that gets people high. In hemp, it's 0.3%. In marijuana, the THC level is anywhere from 10 to 25%.
Whoa.
So hemp, you can smoke a joint the size of a telephone pole and you're not going to get high.
Hmm. Well, then wasn't hemp, growing it in the United States, illegal for so many years?
Yeah, since 1937. Matter of fact, in 1937, the year they outlawed it, Popular Mechanics, that magazine, came out with an article in 1937 showing that hemp was the first billion-dollar crop in America. They outlawed it. Can you imagine if they never outlawed it, what it would be worth today?
Well, I remember as a kid, hemp was a rope.
Oh, yeah, hemp, ropes, canvas. The word canvas actually means cannabis marijuana. So every ship, every sail that crossed the ocean for hundreds, even thousands of years had hemp sails. It was the only way you could cross the ocean. It was vital for the discovery of America, for commerce. I mean, it was really important in our history.
I had a question relevant to that. In between hemp and marijuana, and here's another point of confusion, do we have the same medical benefits of use of those two particular elements of essentially the same plant? Are we getting the medical benefits on the same levels?
Yes and no. Well, marijuana has the THC level. It does have the CBD, the cannabidiol. And what's happened in the last 40 years, marijuana growers have bred the CBD, the cannabidiol. It actually brings your high down. It's non-psychoactive. They didn't want it in marijuana because you wouldn't get a stone. Well, with industrial hemp, they increase the CBD, the cannabidiol, and lower the THC. And what's happened the last 5 years, we found out that the CBD cannabidiol is more beneficial for health than the THC, whether it's with cancer, epilepsy, neuroprotectants. Matter of fact, the U.S. government owns the patent on CBD cannabidiol, the Health and Human Services.
So there is a difference then between medical marijuana and recreational marijuana, which now is, you know, legal in Colorado and elsewhere.
Yeah, I think the difference is what's happening with regulation and these laws. The medical marijuana growers, they have to grow usually indoors in a safe, clean environment without dust, pollen, you know, animal stuff. And they have to test the soil, test the cannabis for heavy metals, for molds, mildew. So there's regulation, and people actually know where their medicine's coming from, and they know what percentage of THC it is. And it's just, there's a lot of benefits to that.
Well, how can listeners, our listeners, find out more about the Cannavest, which is your company, and its products?
Well, what we're doing now at Cannavest, you can go to our website, cannavest.com, or if you call our toll-free number, 855-758-7223, we'll give you $50 worth of CBD products, whether it's lotions, creams, salves, and that way you can try it for free, not trying to sell anything. It's just important people try it, talk to their doctor, do the research on the internet, and it's non-psychoactive, and it's legal in all 50 states. We make over 30 different products.
All legal in all 50 states.
All legal in all 50 states. We ship it around the world. You know, CBD is, you know, one of the main ingredients in industrial hemp. And according to the United States government, industrial hemp is anything that's 0.3% THC, and it's legal underneath the Farm Bill of 2014. That's why these states are starting to grow it.
Huh. Carl?
That's fascinating. And it's fascinating on a number of fronts, but I want to get back one more time to this question of medical, the medical marijuana issue and its benefits to those who have cancer, serious pain disease. Some people have described it as a pain reduction medication that lasts for a period of time on regular use. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I'm not a doctor, and I can do is I can explain the research I've read, what's out there, and we do know that it helps with, there's a thing called the endocannabinoid system. It's in the human body. And the endocannabinoid system was discovered in 1992, and I don't know if you ever heard of the term runner's high.
Yes.
That came out of the endocannabinoid system. Your body produces a chemical called anandamide. And anandamides, in nature, cannabinoids, CBD, THC mimic anandamides. And anandamides, you find in mother's breast milk. You find it in other plants in nature. And it's actually an anti-inflammatory. And I tell people sometimes in the future, in a couple of years, you'll go to your doctor. They'll check for your blood pressure, your cholesterol, and they'll check to see how your endocannabinoid system is.
That's fascinating. It really is. Go ahead, Ron.
There's so many questions here. Let's talk about the economic impact, if we can, for a moment, on both hemp and cannabis on the American economy. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Brand new statistics have just come out with hemp, the you know, hemp shampoos, hemp protein powder, hemp T-shirts. Last year, according to the spin studies, that Americans purchased over $630 million worth of hemp products. Now, most of that money went back to foreign farmers. Our farmers here in America should be growing that. And then we go over to the recreation or medical marijuana recreational. You have in Colorado, they generated $700 million in one state of revenue, and I think $80 million of that was tax revenue. And out of that tax revenue, over $15 million went back to the school system. So there's some economic benefits there, and I think it's going to help communities, help law enforcement. We've seen crime go down. We've seen, you know, drunk driving deaths go down in Colorado. We've seen suicide rates go down. Is this part of legalization? We don't know, but the crime statistics in law enforcement are showing a drop across the board in many different areas.
And where does the legislative bill stand in the federal government?
Right now, a legislative bill, basically, it's still it's in the Senate. They need to get more people to sign up for it, more senators. And, you know, there's a lot going on in Congress and the Senate, and hopefully they're going to push this forward. Fortunately, with the industrial hemp, you have guys like Senator Mitch McConnell, one of the powerful people in America. He is completely for industrial hemp. You have Rand Paul. They're talking that if we created industrial hemp factories here in America and Kentucky, we could create 10 times more jobs than the XL pipeline project.
Well, Chris Boucher, we'll be watching this, and we'll be watching it with you. And thank you very much for joining us on Smith Sabatino and filling us in on what's going on.
Oh, thank you for letting me be here.
Enjoyed it.
Thanks.
You know, Carl, perhaps if Congress smoked a little bit more,
yeah.
then they might get some more things done down there.
I got a funny feeling that they have, and they don't want to admit to it. I've been involved with this for quite some time, and doing the research, particularly from the medical aspects of it, and the door is still open.
Yeah,
there's a lot. There's a long way to go.
It is, but at least it's open so that we can experiment.
Yes,
and research.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, let's move on, and we move on. We'll be back. Carl Sabatino, Roland Smith, stay with us.
America. Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
One of the best of all time, this figure skater won two consecutive Olympic golds and the world championship 4 out of 5 years during the mid-1980s.
Triple toe loop, double toe loop.
So where is Katarina Witt now? Katarina has been busy since retiring in 1994. She posed in one of only two issues of Playboy magazine to completely sell out. And she headed Munich's unsuccessful bid to host the 2018 Winter Olympics. Katarina recently portrayed a figure skater being pursued by a stalker in the German TV series The Enemy in My Life.
It is Katarina Witt. Katarina Witt is the world champion for the third time.
Katarina Witt, queen on and off the ice. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call 888-759-MYTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for 4 rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.
Welcome to American Biker Minutes. ABM wonders how many decided to get a personalized license plate only to be turned down because of a government-perceived double meaning. Hang on to your helmets. A related case in Texas, all the way to the Supreme Court. Today on American Biker Minutes.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with 2 free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Texans strong in their belief in freedom of speech. A Lone Star citizen says freedom extends to the written word on license plates. In 2011, Supremes held that burden falls on the viewer to avoid further bombardment by simple eye avertment. Expect the highest court in land to reaffirm. Ban one group, ban them all. American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road on two wheels.